A coroner has ruled Gabby Petito died by strangulation, but many questions are still left unanswered. Does new revelations show that Brian Landry left home with the intent to hurt himself? On other stories, a Wendy's employee accused of pouring hot oil on a customer in Tennessee, and Matthew Coleman spent hours each day on QAnon conspiracy sites before allegedly killing his kids. That and more today on The Dark Side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of...
That it is, and lots to cover today. We'll get some updates on the Gabby Petito case and some other craziness, including, like I said, involving a Wendy's, because, you know, who doesn't need a little excitement at their Wendy's? It's Tony and Sean with you on today's episode. If you like the show, be sure to keep us on the air. Become a Dark Sider. That's where you get advanced episodes of the show, exclusive bonus content, and it's all commercial-free, so you can binge away on the show. Just go to Patreon.com and search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com and get it all right there. What's going on with you today?
We have the meat.
Oh, wait, that's not Wendy's.
What was that? That was Arby's. Yeah.
Arby's.
Wendy's Arby's. Was Where's the Beef from the early 80s.
Clearly not available for the customer, and got pissed and threw oil on Chuck.
Yeah. I can't imagine... I mean, that to me, when I'm in the kitchen, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can injure yourself in a kitchen, but I think hot oil is like, that's like the death one. That's like the worst. If you're ever like deep frying something and you ever like get a splash of it on you, that's pain. That's worse than cutting yourself with a knife. It's worse than, you know, I'm always paranoid when I'm like shredding something or peeling something. One of those peelers, I'm always like afraid I'm making the peel part of my finger off. But the oil... That is the worst. So to
here's
have
the thing, Tony. Speaking of cooking in oil, it's always good to maximize your time, right? Time management.
Uh huh.
Okay, so what I recommend listeners you don't do, if you are cooking, there is oil involved. Don't cut out the middleman of taking a shower and cooking your hamburger. Don't cut out dressing yourself, putting clothes on. If you're running late for work,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you know, maybe you're on a keto diet, maybe you're doing exercise, because again, you know, when you're trying to become maybe a little bit more svelte or get that 8-pack, in addition to working out, you got to have a proper diet, and most diets you have to eat opposed to whatever. So you're running late. I don't know. You take the dog out. Maybe she or he was taking forever. Come on, go potty. So you take a shower, you pop the stove on, you put the, I don't know, you're a little healthier, olive oil in the pan, letting that simmer, take a shower quick, you know, whew, maybe you'll pop the hamburger in the pan, and while it's cooking, you dress yourself. Ooh, bad. Because what you can save in the couple minutes there, you lose when you may or may not burn part of your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wiener. Oh, man, that is good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
I don't even think I want to ask any questions about this.
I mean, it wasn't like an ER or hospital. It literally was a speck. But
yeah,
a speck of burning oil on your you know, hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Holy hell, man. Just imagine when, you know, your pinky or your forearm.
Oh, my God.
Downstairs. But we're good. We're good.
And if you have a burn mark there, then you're getting intimate with someone. They're like, "What happened there? I was cooking a hamburger.
I burned my wiener when I was cooking a turkey burger.
Were you trying to flip it with your dick? like what the fuck were you doing?
I was just really horny. You weren't around. You're out of town on business. You know, I was experimenting. No, that is tough. Like you. Oh my God. Who did you cheat on me with? That is not a burn mark.
No.
What did you get at the pharmacy? What prescription? No, it's not. It literally is. That is not a burn mark. Yeah, it's a burn mark. It really is.
And I don't know what the reaction would be from the female at that point of what would be the better circumstance there for the reality of you cheated on somebody or you were cooking a hamburger naked. I don't know which one you'd rather hear as the female.
I wouldn't care if a girl is, again, time management. Like, yeah, you got your shit to do. You take a shower. You do whatever you want in the confines of your own home. So if you happen to be nude and you're, you know, cooking lunch, oh, shit. It's not like you're literally mixing and matching. I'm using a spatula to, you know,
and
flip the burger.
And I think that's good. Yeah. That's the key difference is the fact the spatula is being used. And
now, mind you, later on, post-hamburger consumption, the slip and slide with the olive oil in the backyard, well, that's a different story. But no, we're good. And quite honestly, in retrospect, I don't think you would want to be intimate with your lady friend if you have a burn on your hoo-hoo.
No, I think that would...
That would hurt like a mofo.
That requires some healing, I think.
And why does it look like the state outline of Ohio? That's impressive. This episode brought to you by whiskey. Whiskey. You're funnier when you consume it.
And you decide to do a little cooking. Wow. Well, on that note, let's talk about death. There is some new stuff in the Gabby Petito case. It's now a clearer picture. This is from CNN of what happened to Gabby Petito after a coroner said on Tuesday that she died by strangulation, but many questions still remain unanswered. Tenton County Coroner Dr. Brent Blue had previously ruled Petito's death a homicide. And though the cause was revealed Tuesday, he declined to provide details about Petito's autopsy or potential suspect, saying he was limited in what information he could legally release. Who killed Petito, when she was killed, and what happened leading up to her death remain a mystery. Even though there are more than 90,000 active missing persons in the U.S., few have been met with as much urgency and national attention as that of Petito, who was reported missing on September 11th and whose remains were found more than a week later in Wyoming's Bridger Teton National Forest. Authorities are still searching for fiancé Brian Landry, who returned to Florida without her after the trip across the western U.S. The autopsy of Petito's remains included a whole-body CT scan, an examination of forensic pathologist by a forensic anthropologist, and a toxicology analysis. Blue said the news on a news conference on Tuesday. A legal document Blue filed on October 5th with the Teton County Clerk of District Court specified that the cause of death was manual strangulation / throttling. I believe this was strangling by a human being, he told CNN's Anderson Cooper. Blue said Petito's body was left in the wilderness for 3 to 4 weeks before being found, but uncertainty remains about the exact date of her death. Death certificates in the state of Wyoming allow for approximate dates and variability of those dates, Blue said. There will not be an exact date of death on the death certificate, the coroner added. The time since her death and the weather conditions she was subjected to make it harder to pinpoint an exact date of death. The autopsy has revealed more information than was released, but will be held back due to ongoing investigations. Blue said working the case was quite the media circus and continues to be. In addition to disappearance and death, the case has sparked conversations around domestic violence due to the release of body camera footage of the interaction between Petito Landry and the police over one of the couple's fights. Unfortunately, this is only one of many deaths around the country of people who are involved in domestic violence, Blue said, and it's unfortunate that these other deaths did not get as much coverage as this one. Blue told CNN the domestic violence comment was strictly an assumption. So, I mean, yeah, I think that I don't blame them for kind of starting to point this out a little bit. I mean, the obvious thing, the amount of missing persons that are out there and the attention that this one gets versus some of the others. She was a pretty blonde girl. And I think that has a lot to do with the attention that this thing is getting. Had she not been of that look, I don't think this would be as big of a case, unfortunately. And that's just seems to be how, you know, things work. And this is a prime example of it. This is when I pretend, well, maybe it's because of this, maybe it's because of that. Eh, I don't know. I think there's a lot of the weirdness of people's physical attraction to someone that drives who gets attention and who doesn't.
I think it's twofold here. Number one, we live in a time where every single thing is analyzed and analyzed and then analyzation of the analyzed information. Don't forget about that conspiracy theory. You could have 10 people out in a parking lot looking up at the bright sky, not a cloud in it, mm-hmm. the sun. You could ask 10 people, what color is the sky? 7 would say blue. 2 would say purple, 1 would say blue, but really it's yellow with a hint of orange, and it all depends upon your nationality and time of day. So what I'm trying to say is blunt factual information is boring. Mm-hmm. It is not sensationalized. We just are obsessed with that. Similarly, the other part of this, people always say, oh, there's nothing but bad news. You know, news has become nothing more than just bad, 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 bad. When you look at it from the analyzing of what people consume, whether it's social media, whether it's the television, ratings, etc., I mean, there's equal amounts. Again, it's not apples to apples, because clearly it's a fluid situation. But there's equal amount of positive news out there. We are trained or enjoy the shock and awe that news brings. Usually the shock and the awe and the emotion and the holy shit happens more with terrible than good. Therefore, if you're an entity that wants to make money based upon consumption of your content, the bad news is being absorbed, and you toss in a bad news story in the form of a very pretty, attractive, relatable girl, and you kind of have the perfect recipe for consumption.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of like the you got a little icon to click on and you got the news story, same headline, you got a picture of her on it, or you have a picture of somebody who's not remotely as attractive as she was. What do you think's going to get more clicks? Of course, the one who's more attractive, and that's what drives things like this. And then people go, it's the news media that's doing it. No, it's actually the consumers that are driving it when you really look at the root of everything. The news media is sitting there going, well, people clearly are interested in this. We should cover this more. Had consumers not clicked on that story as frequently, it wouldn't get as much coverage. So ultimately, it comes down to the diet of the human beings. And not so much, you know, the argument of, well, the news is doing this to, like, no, they're catering to whatever the hell you have an appetite for. And if you have an appetite more for hot, attractive dead girl versus non-attractive dead girl, that's what they're going to feed you. Not saying it's right, but ultimately the problem is not necessarily with the news source. It's with the consumer that's going, I want to hear more about that one.
You go to the grocery store, you can buy some spinach or you can buy some queso dip.
Yeah.
You pick the queso dip, you come home, you warm it up, you eat the whole jar, and then you're sitting on the couch and you do this for months on end, and then you realize, why are my man boobs larger than my girlfriend's?
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember that choice that you did? That you're eating like lard
yeah.
for 6 months straight, opposed to apples and salads,
yeah.
the direct result. Similarly, yeah. in what you choose to consume when you are choosing to consume it and how you consume it. And it's just, you know, to kind of take a higher view on this and to not be in the weeds of analyzing why a pretty girl gets more coverage than a not pretty. It's just tragic all around.
It is.
The looks aside of Gabby, this is absolutely heartbreaking. And I think the obsessing and all the focus is not on the tragedy of this as much as it should. Like, who cares, honestly, what she looks like physically?
Yeah.
This is terrible. This is sad. And you look at all of these cases. Let's maybe bring a little bit more focus on all families that are having to deal with this, opposed to just the families who are having to deal with the pretty dead girl, opposed to the not so pretty dead girl.
Yeah. Well, and you think of it, I mean, using that grocery store analogy, then what gets crazy is then the consumer will get mad at the grocery store going, why aren't you carrying a ton more, you know, spinach? Well, because it doesn't sell.
Nobody's it's in aisle four.
It's over there, but people aren't buying it much. And there's a huge demand on queso over here. So we got to carry a lot of that because that sells.
Well, you should, and spinach goes bad in 24 hours. So it can't sit on the shelf for a week.
So is it the grocery store's fault that the man boobs got that big? Or is it the choice of the consumer as to what the grocery store is carrying more of? The store is there to make money. And that's what news outlets are there to do as well, which I think a lot of people forget. We don't have state-run news in America as much as people like to think there. I mean, there's Fox News. But if you're talking about news sources and one does this one, they're there to make money. That's the reality of it. So they've been bred now with all the ways that they can analyze things to feed you the information that you're expected to get on that diet. You watch MSNBC, you know what you're getting there. You watch Fox News, you know what you're getting there. Just as you go to Whole Foods, you know what you're getting there. You go to Aldi's, you know what you're getting there too. They're all different. Don't be shocked when you're not getting what you expect over at Aldi's at Whole Foods or vice versa. They're different entities and they're just there to sell their shit.
It's a great point, and it's because there's layers on it. You, the consumer, have 100% choosing of what you choose. Yeah. Now, here's the deal. Historically, okay, if you more often than not choose the queso, well, yeah, then there's going to be a point where there's less spinach because you don't fucking buy it. So, you know, is so lost, which again, this then explodes into the never ending, I'm going to punch myself in the face rather than trying to have other people understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Based upon our collective choices is now why there is more options on one side than the other.
Yeah.
We are the ones that have created. We are the ones that can change. But again, it's a combination of boredom and it's not shock and awe by just choosing to, you know, doing the hard work to make an effort to change for the better. And two, it's hard. Like, it's hard to do a routine that isn't as enjoyable or immediate satisfaction or this, that, or the other. And it's boring. It's hard and it's boring. Yeah. And who really likes to do the things that are both and don't see the long-term benefit of exercising and eating healthy? You are smoking hot or in very good health and will live for a long time unless you get hit by a bus. You then flip that. But rather simple once you can see it from kind of a simplistic view.
No, it's there's just so many layers to it. And I think a lot of people don't understand how those things work and how what people choose to consume does affect what you get to choose from and what's out there and how much of it. And that's just it is what it is. And ultimately it comes down to consumer choice. And guess what? Consumers have said this is what they want. Doesn't make it right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you want an answer as to why you see more things like this in that way, it's ultimately up to you and what you want to consume.
Did you see that star that just went across the screen and below it says,
The more you know. Brian Landry left his home without his phone or wallet, and his parents were concerned he might hurt himself. Source close to the family of Brian Landry told CNN's Chris Cuomo on Tuesday that Gabby Petito's fiance, who is now the suspect of a federal warrant, left his parents' Florida home without his cell phone and wallet. Landry's parents were concerned that he might hurt himself, the source said. Landry has not been seen since that Tuesday, and authorities have been searching the nearby nature reserve in Venice, not far from the parents' home in Northport. Northport police spokesman declined to comment on the report. I cannot give any statement to the timeline on this. The investigation is being conducted by the FBI. So this is interesting. I mean, what gets me on this? Okay, so they say their son left without a wallet, without a phone, and he's going to go hiking in a nature preserve filled with alligators and snakes in wet season. And you're like, okay, son, have fun. Come back soon. I mean, what the fuck? I know you just showed up and your girlfriend's not here and there's a nationwide manhunt for her, but cool, go for it. Now, is this just really what happened? Or is this just absolutely insane parents? If my son, or daughter at the age, I don't care what fucking age they are. I mean, I know he's in his 20s. He's not like a 14-year-old kid. But if your son came back in that sort of state with all these suspicious things around them, and he doesn't take his phone, and he doesn't take his wallet, and he goes out to a place like that, I would be physically restraining him and going, we got to get this guy some mental help. It wouldn't be like, oh, have fun. Take some pictures. Oh, yeah, you're not taking your phone. Okay. No. I mean, I think either this, there's something more with these parents that's going on. Either this is this complete bullshit story that doesn't have his phone or his wallet, or they're just the most irresponsible people in the fucking world. I don't know. I mean, the fact that they're not cooperating with anybody, they're not fucking doing a search for their son. I think they either know where he's at. I don't know. None of it makes any sense. And I think whatever they're trying to do or what they think they're trying to do is going to end up landing them in jail.
Maybe. But if I was in a van for 4 months with my social media goddess girlfriend and I got home and I just kind of wanted to decompress and go, I probably wouldn't bring my phone or my wallet. I'd just go for a hike.
But she's missing. That's the thing. She's missing at the time. And the parents know she's missing. And to be like, yeah, go ahead. Just go disappear. No phone, no wallet. I don't think so.
I have to go just run and like breathe and digest the fuckery. I'm not going to be going for a hike and running and continuously refreshing my Nokia to see if there's any updates.
I would say if you're going for a run around the block, that would be an acceptable thing, but he's going to the fucking swamp. That's where it's like, look, just
Florida.
Look, just for Florida, safety, take your fucking
Florida.
Phone.
Swamp is like around the block. It's Florida. They could live next different. To the Everglades.
A little different. But I don't know. I think there's, I don't know what the involvement is here with them, but there's something going on. And this case has taken so many twists and turns. I don't even begin to profess that I can predict what the hell is going to happen here.
I think your prediction back when we first started talking about it was you think he's going to be found not alive?
That I think, but I don't know. What I'm curious is what is the parents' involvement? I think he's going to be found dead, but I'm really curious as to what the parents know and when did they know it. I think that will end up being the bigger question here in this case than him, especially if he's found dead. And we may never know.
You are a parent. I am not, at least of a two-legged child. I have 1-4, a.k.a. a dog. Is there something that prioritizes above you doing what you can to protect the safety of your child?
If they were...
i.e. lying to the police.
Sure. But I think everything they're doing is... not protecting the safety of the child, letting him run free if he is on the run and not dead somewhere is not really protecting the child, because I think eventually he's going to kill himself or get killed, one of the two. I think if you really wanted his welfare in mind, and maybe at the beginning they weren't thinking this through, but I think now you got to look at this and go, look, if I want to see him alive again, he may be behind bars, but at least he'll be alive. You would be cooperating. You'd be doing something to at least let him talk, because he's not officially a suspect yet. And if he has nothing to hide, then fucking come out and tell us and say something. Tell us what you know. Don't be fucking missing. And if your child is missing and you're not doing really much of anything to find him, what kind of parent are you? It just tells me there's something else. They know something else here. And when that comes to light, they're going to be in deep shit too.
Or they could have had, as you said, they didn't think about it then. Who's to say that they are having updates on information? They may not know anything more than the police. If they've not been in communication on some Morse code with their son, I mean, for all they know, Mind you, this is a son who left for months on a cross country trip with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not going to turn into this like, oh, I'll check in at 9 o'clock every night via AOL Instant Messenger. So they probably initially had, you know, we're going to do this. But now, again, he left. So, and it's not like he's lived at home in their basement forever. And this is his first time that he's been away for more than 36 hours. So we as consumers, absolutely, well, they have to know this. And there actually may not be any more to the story or knowledge than they've already said or not. And maybe they have chosen to withhold information when they were initially questioned by law enforcement and have then thus not chosen to. Well, actually, remember when we first talked, I didn't tell you this. Maybe that's the case. But anything as this extends, who knows, is the ultimate question. But I think there's just as equal amount of validity to them not having any further information that they've not already told. And particularly, they're not getting updates from their son, who they don't know where he is either.
Yeah, but they're relentless. Not talking to the other family, the families of Gabby's.
Would you want to talk to a mom of a, your child killed their child?
I think it's kind of, you should be doing something and not hiding, especially if we don't if we don't know that that happened.
What do you say to them?
I think you go and tell them everything you know about that last interaction you had with their son.
You don't think they would kill you?
No, I mean, I think you do it in the right type of setting. I mean, the thing is, they're hiding. They're hiding behind all an attorney. They're hiding behind everything and not saying shit. And I think if you truly want to solve this case, whether your son's guilty or not, you should be talking more, especially if you want to see your son back alive. It just seems to me they're doing every possible thing wrong in this, where it's just not going to end up, if he's found alive, it's not going to look good. If he's found
I know I never had a son before who's killed someone and, you know, been on the run, but fuck, I should be more of an expert in this situation of how to handle myself as a parent.
I think there's a common decency that people have of how they should handle it. And I don't get what the hell they're doing.
I think common decency and COVID protocols go out the fucking window when you find out that your son comes home from a trip and may or may not have killed a person. So,
yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'm not condoning how they're acting. I'm just saying I am not a person to be like, well, you should probably be acting like this. I have no fucking clue how you should be acting.
Oh.
And I don't think there's any owner's manual of how you should.
I don't know. I think that there is some level of humanity that they're missing. A Wendy's employee accused of pouring hot oil on a customer in Tennessee. Well, this sounds like a great trip when you get your Frosty.
I didn't know I was going to make the show.
A Tennessee man who complained about food he'd ordered from a Wendy's drive-thru
was going to be anonymous.
Was doused with a pan of hot oil by an employee, says police. On Tuesday night, about 11 p.m., a customer ordered food from the drive-thru of a Wendy's in Huntington and realized it was cold after he pulled away from the window. Wanting a refund, he went through the drive-thru line again, at which point the altercation ensued between the customer and an employee, says police. According to surveillance video, the employee left the drive-thru window, went to the cooking area, got a container cup of hot oil. Walter Smothers, public safety director for the Huntington Police Department, said, holding oil from the French fry fryer, the employee identified by police as Demarius Pritchett came back, opened the window back up, and threw it on the man that was making the complaint. The young man threw his arms up to shield his face, Smothers said. The burnt of the oil hit his underarms, down his side. He has second and third degree burns, blisters, and so forth on his arms. The victim, who has not been identified by police, was rushed to local hospital where he was treated for extreme burns and blistering. Pritchard, 23, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault, according to the Carroll County General Sessions Court clerk. He's been released on $5,000 bond. That's great. It's nice you can let those people out. The court did not have any information about whether or not Pritchett has hired an attorney who can speak on his behalf. It's unclear whether he has been disciplined or fired for his alleged actions. Mother of the victim told WBBJ that her son still cannot believe what happened. He was like, Ma, I really thought he was going to go to the back and get my food, right, and bring it back. He said, it shocked me when he threw grease on me. Pritchett told police he didn't know the victim well, but that the victim was allegedly harassing him for the past couple of months, WBBJ reports. We would not want to hear of this happening anywhere and certainly regret that it did so in our community, Smothers told People. A criminal act of this kind is unthinkable and we'll be requesting that the District Attorney General's office prosecute it to the highest possible level.
Is that enough for you?
That could be, I mean, life scarring, you know, it changes. I mean, it could have blinded him and it hit his eyes. I mean, and the fact that the guy gets out on $5,000 bond, it's like, really? Really? That's all? Like, go ahead. And we don't even know if he's still working there. I'm guessing he's not. But, God.
So, growing up, not at We Have the Beef, the Golden Arches.
Uh-huh.
I remember times of, and it's funny that, it's good you referenced a man in this case. Because if you said a woman, I would have to listen even more intently. Fond memories of my childhood, the few times we didn't eat out a lot, but sometimes we would visit the Golden Arches, we'd go through the drive-thru, and I can remember my mother going through the drive-thru, and she would always request, can I take your order, please? Yeah, I get whatever, and could you make sure those fries are right up, hot? So she'd go around to the window, and she'd pay, and then she'd go to the second window, and she'd get the bag, and then she'd drive out about 7 feet, and she'd stop, and she'd open up the bag and look and try a fry or two. These are warm. These are cold. She'd park in one of the parking spots, go inside. I requested these fries to be right up. She'd wait. She'd come back in the car with hot, fresh up fries.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness my mother did not visit a Wendy's in Huntington, Tennessee.
And here's the thing. I can appreciate a nice hot fry like everyone else. But when you're in the drive-through line, you're like, can I have that right up? There's like 30 other cars behind you. And if everyone then has to wait for your...
That's why they have the waiting parking spots.
Back then they didn't. That didn't exist back then. That's a new invention. Back then it was that they probably invented it for that reason. Back then it was, no, everyone's going to get to sit here for an extra 10 minutes so you can get your hot fries. And if you want that, cool, but maybe go into the store and don't do it through a drive-thru. Or say, but I mean, the store could also be like, you know what, we'll make them, but you got to go, and that's probably what they do now. Go wait over there. But back in, you know, 89... No, it was, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I can only imagine the look on everyone's face when they get those requests, like, oh God, like they're in a system, they're in a flow. And then one person has this request and it's like, this really isn't a request that's realistic for us to do in lunch rush. And it's, you get what you get. And you don't throw a fit. That was a line.
Lunch rush, you're going to get hot fries because it's a
you
rush.
Will, you're right.
You need to make more food.
You're right. In that window, you will. You're more likely to get non-fresh if you go at like 3 o'clock.
Thus, if you're not busy, it takes 7 extra minutes. There's not a line.
Sure.
I'm the one car in the drive-thru.
And the one car, cool, whatever. But that's again, they have like five. It's amazing how many parking spots they have now for like drive through where it's like there's 8 spots. It's like this isn't going to go quick at all, is it? no matter what you ordered, please pull over there, sir. Yes, we have to make sure that the ice cubes are cold enough for the drink now. So we're making those ice cubes right now. We'll get them out to you as soon as they're frozen.
If you are eating high calorie food,
mm-hmm.
Do you not at least want to enjoy it in its freshest form?
100%. Yeah. If I'm going to do it, I want it to be right.
Because that's the whole point of eating shitty food. It tastes really good. But good food, not more often than not. Tastes like shit.
But not at the expense of inconveniencing others, I guess would be where my thing comes in.
That's where we differ. You would do anything and everything most times to accommodate others. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly give a fuck about others.
And there you go. That's the difference.
Within parameters.
Yeah.
Like if Carl in front of me ordered a Big Mac and fries, and he wants to wait for his fries to be hot as a mofo to then burn his tongue and then sue McDonald's, that's not on me. If I'm behind him, I surely shouldn't get pissed at him, because if I ordered fries, then my fries are hot too.
But if I'm in a rush to get somewhere and I'm trying to get fast food and it takes 15 more minutes because the guy in front of me wants fresh fries and I just want to get the fuck out of there, I'm
so
pissed.
Fast forward.
Today we have spots. Forward. It's alleviated. But back then it was different.
So fast forward to Starbucks and you're on the way to work and it's always busy.
Yeah.
You're going to tell Danielle to get a black coffee over a caramel macchiato with soy milk and a touch of oat.
I just expect it. There's certain places I expect it's going to be slow, and there's certain places I expect it should go fast. Starbucks is one I expect it will be slow. And they are fairly efficient for what they're doing and how much their work they put into a single drink. But there's just certain ones I'm like, I'm not even going to go into that freaking line. And there's a Starbucks I go to that's off the beaten path that most people don't go to. And I go off the beaten path to get there because it's still quicker than going to the one that's directly on my route when I'm out, if I'm getting coffee for somebody. Little strategery. Strategery on the Starbucks part.
You want to put that address so others can go as well?
No, I don't.
Unless it becomes busy?
No, because the thing is, it'll just continue to not be busy and it'll end up closing down and it'll end up being a gas station soon. It'll be like, this coffee sucks. Matthew Coleman spent hours each day on QAnon conspiracy sites before allegedly killing his kids, according to his source. This is great. In months before Matthew Taylor Coleman was arrested for allegedly killing his two children, with a spearfishing gun in Mexico, the father of two spent an increasing amount of time online looking at conspiracy theory websites and message boards, a family friend told People. It was obvious that he was spending a lot of brain power on it, said the friend, who was known Coleman since they were children. He says he was constantly checking those sites on his phone, spent hours each day just glued to his phone looking at this stuff. Well, the friend does not know the exact websites and message boards that Coleman visited. He said he would talk a lot about QAnon theories in casual conversations. He'd read me things off his phone and say, listen to this one. And then he'd show me other posts. Other people believed the strangest things. Coleman and his wife, Abby, were packing for a family trip on August 7th when authorities allege that Coleman abruptly put his two kids, Kaleo, 2, and Roxy, 10 months, into his van and drove away from their Santa Barbara, California home. Police say Coleman drove his two children into Mexico. 2 days later, authorities allege he took the kids to a ranch where he killed them with a spearfishing gun and returned to his hotel room a few hours later. He was arrested when he attempted to cross the border back into the United States. It's just disturbing more than anything. But I think we if you look at follow any of the insane things that come along with the QAnon, and the sheer amount of fucking people that think there's legitimacy to it highlights more than anything. Again, this is kind of what we're talking about earlier. Is it the source of the information or is it the consumer of the information that's the problem? Because a lot of people want to try and attack the source, whoever is putting this shit out. Great, that's fine and dandy. But until you get the consumer of it that's making the demand on this shit and professing it as legitimate under control, it ain't going to end. And it really, really, really shows us, I think, at a very core macro level, the amount of mental illness we have in our country that many fucking people can believe shit like QAnon and have a straight face about it and continue to kind of go about their daily lives as if life is normal and they can function fairly well too. But then you start talking about some of these things and it's like, where the fuck did you get off the boat to think that's real? And there's no talking about.
Let's clarify mental illness and stupidity, similar,
yeah.
Two entirely different things. So,
yeah,
many people are dumb. Many people are dumb. There are a high amount of stupid, gullible people. And I don't say that in a negative, you're stupid. I'm just factually saying there's intelligence people that enjoy learning, that enjoy being open-minded, that enjoy exploring, and there's people that are just stupid. So you can't really work with stupidity. There can be insanely intelligent, open-minded people that are going through a tough time in life or have some mental uncertainty.
Would you say there's more just stupid people, just people that have a low IQ, that's how we're classifying stupidity, that are out there, or more mentally ill people that are out there that are, because I mean, we're talking huge fucking numbers, and we've always known there's a lot of dumb people and stupid people out there, but I mean this is just mind-boggling.
I think there are certain things that you can analyze in a lab, and then there's things that are out of your control. And for me, I take the mindset of things that I cannot control, I don't even really waste my time on, because it will do no productivity to me.
Sure.
Clearly, there's enough shit that we can control that's overwhelming as well. So to answer your question, I don't know. There could be, I have no idea. But ultimately, what it comes down to, and it is a broken record, is we live in a time that we sensationalize, we crave, we obsess over shock and awe. You combine that with stupidity, / every single person, regardless of level of expertise in informing others, they all have their own websites, aka Facebook page. So if one person that has no clue what they're talking about says something as fact, mm-hmm. and thousands of other peoples, also known as people, that don't necessarily want to do the work to confirm whether this is true or not, / all those other things we've already talked about, that can be kind of a negative tidal wave that floods the rest of society. Mm-hmm. We're never going to be able to cure that. So the whole analyzing of, well, are they just dumb or are they going through, you know, a tough time? Who knows? And to devote time and energy on trying to figure that out, in my opinion, doesn't do any productive or positivity. You just have to do what you can again, it's hard and boring to break down the vast, huge, large clusterfucks to bring it back to what can I do every 24 hours in my direct life and everybody that I interact with to better the gorilla-sized fuckery. No, I'm just going to bitch about it on social media. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Fuck that. But fries weren't hot enough.
Well, what do you do to correct? I mean, I'm not saying everyone in the world should be trying to correct other people. It's usually a losing game. But I think there's a lot of people who are genuinely disturbed by the level as to which, you know, otherwise, you know, people that you'd, you know, be close with, there's families that have been torn apart by some of this shit. And people are genuinely concerned, like, what is going on? How is it that mom or dad or so-and-so can believe these sort of things on such a mass scale? And they're trying to figure it out. I mean, and you can throw your hands up in the air, and I have, you know, pretty much myself, because I feel like there's nothing I can personally do. But if everyone's like, fuck it, throw your hands in the air, how does any of this ever get fixed, or does it not? Is this just kind of the path we're on, and the complete fucking morons or whatever is we're dealing with here are just eventually going to, you know, take over the asylum?
You give us a call every afternoon on the drive home, 555-1212, Talk Radio 560, Bruce and Sean. Let's bitch.
Like, what do you do? What
BS in the afternoon? Here's to answer your question. What do? You do the realization and understanding and put a post-it on the fridge so you see it every morning of what you don't do. You do not obsess about, holy shit, this is fucked up. What can we do to unfuck it up? But that's what you don't do. That's what you don't do.
Here's
because
the thing,
that
though,
then ultimately makes someone who is intelligently minded and quasi-sane insane because you're focusing so much on uncertainty and uncontrollable people.
Sure. But what about when it's a family member? What about when it's someone you actually care about? Not just like somebody you saw on TV or something you read on a news story or some post from
You do the best you can in that situation. Until you're in that situation, you don't worry about it.
I think a lot of people are in that situation. I think you probably are talking about almost anybody, probably like 90 to 95% of the population has at least one person that's close to them that's believing this sort of shit in some way, shape, or form. And to the point where it's like, I care about them. This is not okay. And there, you try and understand it. You try and figure, and it's like, how do you communicate with that? And I don't know that you can. And that's the thing, the biggest thing, everybody's hitting their head against a wall going, what the fuck happened to you? Like, how?
I think that's just where we, quite honestly, are different. You want to analyze that? Yeah. I don't, because I already understand that there isn't a answer to it. There's not an answer. So I don't go through the periodic table of elements only to get to the finish line and realize, well, what the fuck happened? Did she die or not?
Well,
the hospital room. Like, there's no answer. I don't even open up the book.
I try to answer it because, you know, I know people that are in that spell. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck to do. And it's more of a personal thing than it is let me change the world or let me stop these crazy things from being spread. It's more like, what happened and how do you get through to someone that you care about that seems to be on these paths? And that's where I'm analyzing it, because it's a personal thing. It's not just a open world, open-ended thing.
And I think it comes back to doing what you can based upon your knowledge of the situation to better not only yourself, but the person you want to better. And if it's a situation where if you have 25 times, you've given them a plan and assisted them how you know they appreciate being assisted. Because it's one thing if you help someone based upon how you want to be helped. And guess what? People who need help or want help, sometimes are too stubborn or there's a multitude of things.
Yeah.
But if you have already exhausted all of those things, which again, just understanding their style of how they welcome being helped, you then do that for more than 20 minutes. You obviously can't have the expectation of, well, took them to work one day while they fucked in the go for the next 7 years. Really? So you do something that is reasonable. You have an open mind and you give a good faith effort to it. And should that time expire, you continue to assist as much as you can. But for your self sanity, understand that you have put a good faith effort into it. And that you are a human. They are a human. They're literally not a robot that you bought on Amazon. And all you can do is be the best you can to this person, period. Opposed to ... or, well, what if I do this? Or what if I do this? Like, again, because you already have, in this situation, you have two people. You have one that wants to help that for the most part is not crazy. And then you have another person who is clearly going through a situation that for whatever reason, they need some assistance. But if the one person who is for the most part got it together, ultimately, if that person continues to exhaust themselves, focusing on the other person, you then have two people that are very much in need of then a third person. So opposed to going down to that road and multiplying and exponentially having more people who are all these stereotypical slang, screwed up, for lack of a better term, you got to use that foundation that you have that is not always easy. Do the best you can for X amount of time, understanding it's not going to be an overnight situation. And then when you do get to that bridge that you need to cross, because they're still not whatevering you initially started to help them to do, to realize that, breathe, and then just, again, it's super boring and super not Facebook status update, but just don't be a dick. Be the best you can for them and kind of, hi, we could get hit by a bus tomorrow. We'll do the best we can. And there's no further research project or YouTube video we need to watch, because we've already turned over as many rocks as we know how to do to help said person.
Yeah. there's a point
a lot
where
of words.
Where you got to say, I've done everything I can and let it go. And I guess, I mean, it's like a toxic relationship where it's like, this is, you know, like we can be, have a relationship on these levels over here, but we can't over there. And you just kind of got to do your best. And at some point, you know, if you've tried, you've tried, and you can say that you've done that, but at some point you got to give up and for your own mental well-being. Otherwise, it could just be insidious if you just sit there and keep trying to change it. That's just scary, because I think, especially as we get into the holidays here, there's going to be there's going to be a lot of this. There's going to be a lot of, you know, families getting together and things like that, and there's going to be a lot of fucking crazy this year, probably more than ever. And there's going to be so much of, you know, family member looking at family member going, where the fuck do you get off thinking this or that? Pass the mashed potatoes, please. It's going to be weird. I don't know. It's a lot. It's just a lot to take in. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Dark Side Of. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. If you want to get the bonus content, get the episodes commercial free, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com, search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Dark Side Of.